yeah, talking about the website, we've got 3 reviews. This is thanks to Wing. He had a Asus 1 terabyte drive.
And is it Asus or Asus? I used to call it Asus.
So for American audience, it's Asus. For our European audience, it's Asus.
But what does the Taiwanese call it? Because they're Taiwanese.
They follow the US.
So Asus?
They call it Asus.
Asus, okay.
You know why? Because the full name before Asus or Asus used to be Asus Tech. That's the 80s.
That was before my time then.
And so the parent company, I believe, is still Asus Tech.
Okay.
I try so hard to remember the name.
Asus.
I still forgot. No, I mean the Chinese name, Hua Shuo. That's how I remember this.
Hua Shuo? Cantonese
Wasek.
The big brand. So, of course, this one is a wireless duo, 1 terabyte. And good thing about this, it's got some good features. It has the USB 3 connection.
Is it 3? I thought it was 2. Okay.
3, yeah.
3. All the hard drives are 3 now.
SD card reader. And it's also water resistant. IP43, I believe it is. Yeah. And
45. Splash proof.
Yeah.
And it's Wi-Fi.
Not resistant. 65 is water resistant.
Yeah. So splash proof. That's what it says on the website. Good thing. You can wirelessly connect to it. It doesn't give you internet access, of course. You just link up to it.
If I read on a blurb on the website, you can actually use that as an access point.
Oh, could you?
So you can extend your Wi-Fi home network with it.
Oh, I haven't actually tested that part. There was instructions.
But then the battery will last like 2 seconds.
Well, you plug that into your home probably mains.
Yeah.
You plug it into the mains.
It's got the USB plug-in adapter, which goes into the mains. It's not a bad little unit.
But it's only got one port, right?
It's meant to be wireless, so it's...
But you need to charge it from the same port as well.
Yeah, charge it, full charge. I leave it for a night overnight. But it gives you 6 hours full use.
For the
I'm sure if you charge it from a USB... charger,
right?
It's gonna charge faster through a computer port. It might take over.
Oh no! I use the USB charger, full on. So,
but then you didn't watch it, right? You didn't.
I didn't time it. No.
No.
No. I left it overnight.
It's gotta be faster than that. These days, the charging is pretty quick.
Oh yeah, definitely yeah. I used it. Once it's fully charged, I used it for about 4 hours. It actually dropped only 65%. So, but mind you, I wasn't full on accessing data right through. So.
Watching the porn.
Yeah. The SD card function is pretty good. It can use the SD card as an expansion slot. So if that 1 terabyte is not enough space, you can stick another 128 gig extra on top.
That's a bit dangerous though, isn't it? Though?
I don't have 128 gig. I think my most I've got is 32.
I'd be worried if anyone actually filled this up with 1 terabyte worth of their own data and then run out of space and then added another 126.
Just for that little bit more porn.
Yeah.
So that's just an extra option. But of course the SD card slot is only for data transfer. So if you've got like camera, photos, you just want to dump it all your photos.
So I've been out of the business of knowing what a hard drive was like nowadays, but I wanted an external one.
Yeah.
And then I heard about these Wi-Fi features, and I heard about these things called with SD card slots.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd look out.
The only one I ever played with is the Kingston one. That wasn't too good. That was
software wise interface or hardware.
No, it's the whole package. It felt clunky. It wasn't smooth.
I think the best one right now at the moment is the Western Digital. But then you're talking about 50%.
That's
more
pricey. Yeah, yeah.
This was like $940 Hong Kong.
Yeah, which is about $120 US.
Yeah, cheap chips really.
Not bad.
It is. Well, it's cheap based on 1 terabyte hard drive anyway.
Oh yeah, of course.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So and then you add the SD card feature
as well as the Wi-Fi.
I'm not convinced personally about the Wi-Fi feature. I think that's the gimmick.
Mm.
But SD card feature, I think I like it.
Does that mean that you put in your SD card and then you automatically transfer all the data?
Yeah.
And delete?
It won't delete. Okay. It'll transfer the data over to the hard drive.
Mm. And then you just go back, put it back into your camera and then you can format it.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's a quick format, yeah.
But how do you know? Is there like a light or something?
There's power light and activity lights, yeah. But you can also log onto the web page of that unit to see the web interface to see all your data.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this wouldn't replace, if you were doing a production shoot or something, I wouldn't rely on this.
But no, this is more consumer.
It's very much consumer, right?
No, what I mean is, if I don't use my computer, I just want to dump all my files in.
Yeah.
So I just plug in my SD card, and then is there any signal and shows, no. Oh, all completed?
No.
What do you want for that price? It goes on
you
the
still
size.
Need a, you still need you can use access the web interface to see.
That's called app. Web
there's
address.
An app.
That's
says your age. You keep referring it to as web interface. It's called an app.
Yeah. I suppose, yeah.
So there's an app then?
It's not an app. You just open your web browser and it comes up.
Yeah, you type in an IP address. It's not an app. It must be an app.
No
IP
address, no app. You can connect this, say, with your smartphone.
Yeah.
Your iPad, and then you can just
is it password protected?
Get the photos over.
You can password
wireless.
Protect it. So
wireless,
basically how it works is you switch that on, then you go onto your Wi-Fi settings to check for the hotspot for the SSID. You see it. This is Terabyte Wireless Duo. You click on it to connect. If you set a password already, it'll ask for your password. If it doesn't, then it'll go open the browser, and then there it is.
But if it's a basic web interface, that means it's easily guessable, the password then?
No, it's got WPA2 encryption, and if your browser is 128-bit, so it's fairly secure. The
password itself is encrypted,
yeah.
But
it's home use, so it's not like a dedicated, you know, kind of production.
You say that, you see my Paris Hilton collection?
It's porn.
Yeah, it's okay. It's consumer home use. It's not like, you know, professional studio quality or anything like that for that kind of workhorse.
Yeah.
So, top right price, good speed. You get the same speed as from SD card, so it's about 100 meg per second transfer.
Theoretically, if you plug that into your mains constantly in your home, you have the hotspot on.
Yeah.
Theoretically, it's like a NAS.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you just leave it there.
A mini NAS, yeah.
Yeah, leave it on there. Yeah, leave it on the mains. So that works quite well. Price wise, you mentioned.
Do you know
good
where
price.
NAS is? Network.
Access storage?
Access storage.
I was shaking my head.
Network attached storage.
Attached storage.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So do you know the videos that you had on your computer for his review, the Synergy?
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a big hard drive with a big box with two hard drive slots. So that's a NAS. So you connect it to the Wi-Fi network or the LAN network. And then any computer can access
On that network, they can access that thing.
Yeah. So imagine accessing another person's computer, but you're only using it for storage. You could just dump the files into that.
That's a NAS.
NAS.
So that's basically what I quickly set up yesterday. So yesterday, we were both working from one hard drive. We had two computers. So we needed access to the data. So two Macs, I daisy-chained the two computers with lightning cable. Not lightning, Thunderbolt cable.
Mm-hmm.
And then remoted into her computer to access the hard drive while it was connected to the hard drive.
Right.
From one hard drive, because it wasn't a NAS per se, but it was a hard drive.
Sharing the hard drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you guys do a tutorial of how to do it?
Oh,
next
NAS
time?
Is like.
Next
time. It's
really
it's a simple.
Whole big thing though.
But it's very simple. 5 years ago, the NAS storage devices were a bit of a pain to set up. You have to get the correct drives and this and that, and you set up the menus. But now it's
like
all. All web-based.
It's all web-based. It comes with a software and enclosure now, and you have your own IP. So once you set it all up with all your hard drives inside and you put your storage on, you go out in the street then, you type in your IP, you can access this stuff on your home.
Yeah,
it's like a personal
Dropbox. And you can start playing music from it, stream music and playing video from it, you know.
So
you make your own cloud, in a way.
Yeah, you do.
I need that.
It's really good.
No, you do.
Well.
You do actually.
You need that. What? That's 5D camera?
You're going to do a lot of video production. You're going to be producing a lot of files, right? So rather than always buying 500 gig, you can buy
2 or 3 terabytes.
Two, three terabytes, and then you combine them.
And they have, because of the software, they have what they call like different RAID systems.
Yeah.
And you can like have redundancies.
Yeah.
Like you might mirror them hard drive. So if one hard drive that goes, the other hard drive has all the other data copied as well.
So imagine you
redundancy.
Have one box, 4 hard drives, and you buy two hard drives. So you can either set it up as 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 gigabytes, or you can combine them and it becomes 4 gigabytes still. So each time you write or save something to it, it copies it 4 times.
But then what's the point of that?
Because if one dies,
then you've got everything.
Yeah.
Because in your situation, if one dies, I've lost everything.
No, but does that mean that it will fill up very fast? Because it's just 4... for copy of the same thing.
It will as well. But the price of hard disk nowadays
is cheap. It's not for copies per se. It's actually a mirror. One mirror works. The other one is actually doesn't work. So even if you pull one out, the other mirror will kick in, but it's not actually two running at the same time. That's one RAID system. Another RAID system is where you actually have speed and mirror. You need four drives for that.
Yeah. RAID 10, isn't
it? RAID 5 and all sorts. So it's...
I think you just went for way home use, into that.
Yeah.
For home use,
but basically, it's redundancy. Yeah, so if one hard disk dies, you've still got the data. And with hard disk being so cheap, you don't really matter. You buy a 2T when you slap it in.
No, 2T is like
terabyte.
A thousand.
Or price. 2T is around about about 1,000.
Yeah. Actually, you can buy dedicated NAS storage hard drives now. The one I reviewed was actually Western Digital.
The red ones.
Yeah, they were 1,000.
Yeah, the red
ones. Those consumer ones with only one hard drive in there.
You can use normal hard drives. That's not a problem.
The one I got, the 7D MyCloud.
Yeah, I like those, but I'm worried because there's only one.
Yeah, because when they go, they go.
Yeah.
But
the thing is, with those, with a DVD MyCloud, like one I got, I think it's the enclosure that will go before the hard disk.
Yeah.
The interface. But then I can just rip it out, get the hard disk out.
It was the same experience as...
Yeah, I can just rip it out and get the hard disk out. So I think that's it. So yeah, eventually one day I'll go get a Synology.
Yeah.
I'll probably get one.
One thing about Synology and all the other ones, QNAP, and they come with amazing software. They have an iTunes media streamer, everything.
They have torrents.
You keep mentioning this iTunes thing, right? This iTunes software has been around for like 15 years.
Oh yeah, I guess. I never actually played around with it.
With the Synology one, they have like torrent software inside.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can just set
up like a mini server, a mini FTP.
You can that Ruda stuff in the background, just current downloading.
Yeah.
Without your computer on.
So, you know, you go to... what's the QQ music to listen to your music there? So very similar. Imagine have all your music in your NAS storage device, and you can just stream your music to your computer without having stored on your computer.
On your phone when you're out.
Or you could use QQ Music or Spotify.
Yeah. And pay.
But if you've got your music in your own drive, then why not?
Yeah.
Got it? So and you can share that music within your friends within the house.
The only reason
buy things and then ask you guys to set it up.
Yeah, it does cost a bit, but the one thing that's putting me off getting one of Synology right now is my internet speed is crap.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So one of the benefits of having Synology is when you're out on the street, you can still access your stuff. But when my internet speed so crap to send the signal out, then my phone in the street is not going to get anything really. So that's one of the reasons why I haven't got one yet. There's no point. It's just all literally based at home then. I'm missing the other part, which is I can maybe have my own cloud. But with it, say on my phone, I can take a photo. I can have it auto back up to my NAS at home.
Yeah, you can.
You know, automatically. But then with my internet being so slow, it's not going to do that.
So that's NAS and wireless hard drives.
That's a bit of a tangent, isn't it?
We always do.
Mm.
That funky kid tangent.
Yeah. okay, so next review. It was the Targus wireless... docking, not wireless.
It's wired
docking, yeah. So it's a USB docking,
Was it a dock or a hub?
It's a docking.
What do you dock with it?
It plugs into your USB 3 of any laptop or MacBook, and it gives you output, two USB 3s, one HDMI, a LAN port, and a VGA.
It's got converters inside of it.
It's already... It has a built-in display chip.
So, it's like different...
so do you know, on your computer, you've got a certain number of ports. Mm. So you sometimes, if you
need more.
You need more.
Or a different one.
Yeah, you can purchase a dock and you just plug in one cable and it gives you like 7 ports.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Connectability. Yeah.
So for example, this MacBook hasn't got a LAN port, right?
No.
No.
So with the dock, the Targus dock, it gives you the LAN port as well as a VGA port. Some people use...
it's USB 3.2 VGA. I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3.3 is basically the same capability as the...
But you need a USB 3. It doesn't work on USB 2. Because what happens is the graphics display comes from the graphics card on your laptop, actually outputs into that box. So that box has a display link chipset, which gives you extra graphics power to a TV, projector.
It's like those Thunderbolt ports. dock things.
They're like about 10 times more expensive though.
Yeah, they're like so expensive.
The Belkin ones are like super duper like
300-400 US, isn't it?
Yeah, silly.
Yeah.
And so, you're only getting like two USB ports and an extra. Yeah,
it's because you've got that DisplayLink chipset, which actually takes over your graphics card. That gives you the extra power through for the.
It doesn't have Thunderbolt then.
It doesn't have Thunderbolt now.
Thunderbolt no.
So I think this one's more designed for PC, but I tested it on the Mac. It does work. It just gives you extra, you know,
outputs. Okay.
So if, for example, you need to take your laptop to a conference room. And the conference room is like 20, 30 years old. You still get a VGA port.
What is a VGA?
It's the cable that connects to your monitor or a projector.
Isn't it this one? No, blue D ones.
The
one we
used
to use. With
the
nine, those
are pins. Oh! Yeah, those.
Old school one. Yeah, old school. Your computer, your MacBook hasn't got it. So you need one of these dock.
Yeah, but there's some displays that still use those.
Yeah, yeah. Mostly just projectors and hotel projectors. Conferences still use
VGA. They need to upgrade it now, isn't it? Yeah. They need to upgade their system. No one uses those connectors anymore. Because there's no sound. The VGA is no just sound. A picture. No. There's no sound going through.
No. So the docking also has a HDMI 1.4. So it gives you projector to your TV with sound, if you want.
That's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Is HDMI with sound?
Yeah.
No, this is, yeah.
HDMI 1 didn't have sound.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
That was like
the silliest.
Wow, upgrade. Sure. No.
You have to be careful which HDMI cables you get. This is the 1.0 one.
This is HDMI as
bye
well.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. This is HDMI mini.
Oh, but when do I use this?
If you want to connect it to like a... But Apple stole the connector and used it for data as well, and they called it a Thunderbolt.
So it's display port, right? Or is it more display port?
This is.
That's the HDMI. Yeah, HDMI. This plugs into this cable, right?
That's HDMI. That's
display. It's all convenient HDMI, though.
Yeah.
Ten years ago, I had a laptop or a computer, and I just say it down to a movie, and I wanted to put that movie onto the big TV. I had to plug in the VGA cable and then somehow find a way to connect speakers up.
Because
now HDMI cable
is
just one cable
to the
TV and it works.
Yeah, HDMI is good. It's good for that. It's got built-in the sound, so.
Cut it off.
Oh, those were the days.
Because it's all turning like
no sound.
So you can't really measure the performance on the docking. It's just a docking. But
how much was it?
That one is actually it's not cheap. It's about 100 US. Yeah.
How much is that? That's
800 US is about 800.
I think it's about average.
It's okay for a mini travel one.
Yeah.
So it's about the size of your.
Does it need external power?
Nope.
Oh.
Just plug in straight into USB 3 and it works.
I'll question that though. If you connected everything up to the one USB, can it?
It has a mini USB 3, the micro USB.
Micro USB.
The ones that you charge in your Android phones, that you can use for power if you need it.
And where the hell are you going to plug that?
So imagine just getting your average charger for an Android phone, that US micro USB, and just plug it in as an
extra power. No, those ones are just USB. It's that bit that plugged into the phone.
No. You can get the chargers like this one. I'll show you. But it's mains adapter goes into that micro USB.
Oh, you mean the port in?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That one. So that kind of charges it. Not charges, it gives you extra power if you need it. But okay. I think most USB 3 adapters or ports have enough power on that. So there you go. That's your USB, Targus USB docking.
Yeah.
Next is the Xiaomi Mi portable charger, right?
It's Xiaomi. Xiaomi. I found out today.
Yeah.
It's called Xiaomi.
How do you say it in
Xiaomi.
Xiaomi.
It sounds so rough, doesn't it?
16,000 microamps?
Milliamps.
M-A-H.
M-A-H. Yeah.
That's the one I use.
That's the same one?
It's the same one.
Yeah, so tell us what it's like to use it, because when I test it, I just used a couple of iPhones, maybe an iPad, but you use it daily, right? Day in, day out.
That thing lives.
What is that?
The portable charger.
Oh, Xiaomi. It's just a charger. Yeah,
the 16,000 capacity.
Yeah.
How do you find that?
It charges.
When you use it daily.
No, the reason why I purchased that one is because based on the price range, right? In Hong Kong dollars, I think it was 160, 170. $5.
Yeah.
But the fact that you can charge your phone five times, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
My problem with these batteries previously was that you charge the battery, put it in your bag, you use it once, you forget to recharge it, and then the next time you use it, there's no battery power left. So.
But isn't it got like a battery indicator?
That's irrelevant. Because when you run
in
out of
rush,
juice.
When you're in a rush.
No, whenever you run out of juice and you expect your battery to charge your phone, you want a full charge, right?
Right.
So regardless of if it's got an indicator or not, if it can only charge once, then that means you have to charge your phone and you charge it.
But the whole point is, isn't it, that you charge up the battery so that it gives you enough juice?
This is so easy to explain because he bought it because it could charge his phone for five times.
So I don't have to recharge it five times, if you know what I mean. I don't have to recharge the battery.
It has enough capacity.
For me
right.
to use once a week. 2 weeks.
Okay.
I can leave for a month. But you're small. Because you got the smaller version. You got the score. How big is your one? 500? 5,000 even?
No, the one we reviewed is 16,000.
Yeah, so but you used one personally as well. You had one when we
This mine. One, that's yours, Lyrica.
Yeah.
The smaller one.
She
has no idea. The 5,000 one, right?
Yeah.
How many phones does that charge?
It's like one and a half.
Half.
One and a half.
Yeah.
I thought it would at least give you two.
I thought it at least give me two.
No, not with smartphones nowadays.
Okay.
You're not going to get
it's, two it's one and a half.
Thousand,
which is useless because you have one full charge out of it and then you've got half, right? So the next time you need battery, do you see what I mean?
That's the point that you're trying to make. Yeah, I understand that. Right.
It becomes useless because now I either have to charge two other things or...
Yeah.
But
so imagine, put it into a real life, real case scenario. Imagine you're going to be filming a lot of stuff with your iPhone, GoPro, other gadgets.
You've got one of these things here.
It will at least support you for a good couple of hours, right?
I have it in my backpack all the time.
Yeah.
With a big long cable coming out, and it's just plugging anything.
Yeah.
Right.
With the GoPro, I can record 24 hours time lapse.
So
it's
so
crazy.
So that's good enough, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's cheap.
Yeah.
Like, well, the one I got is what 11,000. 1,100, 9,000 mAh.
Yeah.
That was like
$99. That's the best bargain one because it's minus a lot of weight, but you still get
good
80% of the...
$99 when I saw it, I was like, wow, is that fake? First I was like, is that fake?
Isn't it the same one as mine?
No, mine's a like
thicker. Is it shorter and fatter?
Shorter,
yeah.
Fatter.
And then his is longer.
Longer and thinner.
Yeah. And then yours is medium and flat.
Yeah.
He just abused us all in one go then.
Whatever.
Thin and flat. Short and fat. And long and thin. Great.
He just abused us all in one go. He just didn't know. He just didn't realise it.
Okay.
So
he,
I think
he said it in purpose.
But I think it's a good result of this branded Xiaomi, right? They've got battery sizes for all use case scenarios and a really good price range.
Well, funny enough, Misuma, I mean, they were Android phone maker, right?
They started off, that's what I'm writing about.
All right.
They started out in 2010.
But then they're moving into consumer products.
Mm.
Like,
well, they were always trying to get, their point of saying philosophy was always trying to get high tech in
for the masses.
Without the high price.
For the masses,
yeah.
Right.
So they first started off without the...
Didn't they sell more phones than Samsung? And
they were the third. Behind Samsung and Apple.
As in
third.
Globally?
Globally.
Because I went to Singapore, they had a Xiaomi shop.
Yeah.
What was Xiaomi
Do you know Xiaomi shops? They've actually stopped doing it now.
Are they?
Because their model is more online now.
Online.
Have you noticed they don't do big advertising?
They don't.
They use social media.
But I saw a couple of ads, that was about a year ago, the Xiaomi TV.
Yeah.
The media boxes, right? They were pushing that last year, and I saw a couple of ads, but that's about it. But how good are they compared to your...
Well, the Xiaomi TV, this was another Android box, really.
Yeah.
IPTV, and that lasted a month.
Right.
But basically, all these are the Android boxes, and they rely on apps to have video on-demand content or live TVs.
Yeah.
And with live TV content, the streams, they're just not reliable with
these
Android apps.
So... So there's an article that Wayne just written. So I'm gonna finish off my reviews, which was the Xiaomi charger, yep. The Target docking, and also the Asus Wireless Duo. And I'll pass the helms to you.
Yeah.
Well,
TV. Basically where I live, we don't get reception for TV, so I had to rely on some form of internet TV and live TV as well. And then, so I experimented buying several of these Android boxes, and they're just all in the cupboard now, just gathering dust. I mean,
you literally have bought several.
Yeah, literally. Because I bought the first one, and it was just crap. And then I bought the Xiaomi one, thinking it's different.
Couldn't you upgrade it? Or?
Yeah, no. The first one was so bad, it couldn't even upgrade the Android.
All right.
The OS. It was so bad. So then I bought the Xiaomi one, thinking I got conned into the advert, really, thinking it was something completely different. But in effect, it was exactly the same. So I go with that, and I bought this one called Mage. And Mage was fantastic. It was just Linux. There was no Android in it. And all it was, you just viewed live channels from around the world.
Right,
so you've got like Sky Sports, National Geographic, Hong Kong television
There's all of that.
Yeah, it was live. But then because these services are dodgy, they're all based in China.
Yeah.
And there was a massive IPTV crackdown last year in China.
Right, okay.
So the service went down. Mm-hmm. And with that one, I had to pay like $800 a year.
Oh, for the whole subscription?
Subscription.
Yeah.
It was worth it. It was really worth it.
For the year, I think so.
Because you had over 2,000 live channels.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the 7-day playback function.
Right.
So once I went down, I had to find another option. And that's when I stumbled upon Unblock Tech, this box.
Okay.
It's another Android box, but it has its own app store, and all the apps in the app store must run from that machine, because it's got a MAC address. Each box has got a MAC address, and it's dedicated. So even if you could get the app off it and install it onto another Android box, it won't run.
So it matches your MAC address of that device?
Yeah, MAC addresses.
Yeah. MAC address.
A MAC address is basically like your ID card number. So each device has a MAC address, so it can talk to the internet.
I think that might have one as well.
Your iPhone has one.
Yeah.
Anything that connects to the internet will have one.
Or connects to a network.
Yeah.
To identify.
It's a series of two numbers of digits and then :2:2:2.
You can look at it right now. It's in the general settings.
Yeah.
About. Scroll to the bottom.
So with the Unblock Tech, it gave me over 1,000 channels of live TV now.
Okay.
So then, and it's just it just works. It's free. Well, it's on the subscription, and it costs HK$680.
So there's a thing.
Does it have football?
Yes.
How long do you think this will last?
This will last a bit longer. This one will.
You think?
I think so. Because the crackdown is slightly slowing down now in China.
Right.
And the biggest casualty for the crackdown was the more famous one, TV Pad.
Oh, TV Pad. Yeah.
That got done by a Korean media company for like a couple of hundred million.
Really? Because my parents actually got TV Pad.
What's the matter?
So the theory of those TV box is
similar to what we got here.
So it's like...
So it's like an Apple TV, but then they connect to illegal streams of...
There's apps to connect to, streams around the world, live streams. So you can watch... with these, because they're based in China, you got millions of CCTV channels.
All the Chinese channels, yeah.
Millions. From different regions, Wuhan, different regions, all the Chinese channels.
Yeah.
But then you're going to have... You're gonna have like MTV on it. You got National Geographic.
So imagine all the channels you can get around the world, literally, on your little box.
Yep.
You can watch.
You don't need
that's
it.
That's life.
And then that's it. Is it like streaming? So you need to
internet. Yes.
Load.
You need internet. Yeah.
And with this one, and I gotta say, with this and Block TV, another great thing about it is the compression ratio they're using.
Yeah.
With the Mage before, when I had a TV on,
it's
streaming.
Buffering.
Basically, even I couldn't even surf on my smartphone.
Oh, it sucks up all the bandwidth.
It took up all my for my 6 meg line, the crappy internet line, all the bandwidth. With that, I can still post.
So it's buffered.
Yeah, it's not buffered. It's actually compressed.
Compressed.
Somehow they've done a really good compression. Yeah.
Galaxy.
Yeah. So, and with the video content, apparently it's 4K as well.
4K? Oh, there's 4K?
Yeah, so obviously not the live stream,
mm-hmm.
but then the video content, like the videos and the films and series it has stored, it's got 4K on it. You can show 4K quality.
That's amazing, because, HD 1080p fine, Most media boxes do 1080p, right? But I didn't know they can do 4K.
For $680, even if it lasts six months.
Are there channels that stream 4K?
No, not that I've seen. Not that I've seen. Obviously, you will have...
It's compressed 4K, isn't it?
You will have channels that are down event, you know, well, here, there, and everywhere. But then there are actually two apps, Chinese version and English version. And you can alternate between the two, and you get different servers, actually.
Yeah. My parents got the TV pad. I'm not sure if they're working that. But...
I mean, one of the problems I had with the researching these was everything's in Chinese. You go to the website, it's in Chinese.
Learn Chinese, then!
Everything's in simplified Chinese as well. It's like the bastardized version of Chinese. And it's the worst thing. I'll have to like ask friends and colleagues, say, what does this
translate?
What does this do? What does this do?
What's the option on this?
Yeah. Are you sure? Are you sure it's not going to... Because I was worried. I've been burned so many times with Android boxes already. I didn't want to buy another Android box and just be gathering dust. I just don't want to do that.
So all you need is internet connection, a TV,
and one off. Like you just
and a translator.
You just pay one. This one's 680. Yeah, pay one. No subscription fee. All of them, apart from the Mage, has a subscription.
What about the extra features? As in, get one box but stream it to say two or three TVs. Different.
It has like two USB ports on it. I think one of them you can plug in a mouse because it's, you know, with Android boxes, when you have to type in passwords to pay on the remote control. The other one I can think, the other one I know you can use it to install apps by USB.
Right.
So with the ability to be an Android box, you can install Kodi.
You
install other apps like Kodi.
Yeah.
So you can do stuff like that and just music streaming apps like Spotify, you can do it. Theoretically, you can just install Android games really on it.
And then the other day we went to Central Po again, right? And we saw these little 7-inch, what are they called, PCs. The guy said it was PC.
It's a PC.
It's like $80.
It's a PC.
$80 for a...
It's a PC. It's basically, it's like a smart tablet, but then it's angled. It's completely angled, so it's a full block.
It's a Windows.
Yeah, it's Windows 10. Touch screen. It had HDMI ports.
And you could just plug straight on the TV, right?
Yeah, because the guy was saying these were people buying these to go next to a TV as a companion. So any all the content they have on it, or plugged into an external storage, then they can feed it over the TV.
I guess people are so... This, again, Windows users are majority out there.
What about games?
You just plug it in and away it goes, stream. Yeah. So... Interesting. So,
do we need that?
Which one? Were the streaming ones?
Yeah. Oh, that PC was funny. It's just that big.
Yeah.
And it's touch screen. It Windows 10. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't slow. That's the problem. It wasn't slow. It wasn't like a pressure.
Windows 10 is never slow.
Yeah.
In the beginning.
That thing came with options, isn't it? 32 and 64 gig?
Yeah. But then, as I said, you don't need a 64 gig. 32 gig would be enough to run it.
Right. So, Lyrica, what kind of interesting things you've been up to lately?
I did more video production.
Uh-huh.
Stayed up till 7 a.m. this morning. Worked 18 hours straight.
Okay.
Only 3 2-minute break in between.
How do you find that? What kind of hardware?
Not long enough for a cigarette, is it?
I made time.
So you're using the Canon G7X, right? Continue using that with some...
Yeah, that was just a backup camera in this production. We used a Canon 5D.
Mark III.
There's a difference.
Mark III.
Okay.
We used 3 different mics, which I don't really remember their names, but Lloyd does.
It works.
We used... a Zoom H4N to record the audio using a lavalier mic, and then we had an extra mic, directional shotgun mic on top of the DSLR using Rode mic, which I forgot which model number it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the Pro one; it's the one down.
Okay, so with the we won't talk too much about that because that's going to be posted soon. Yeah.
But what was your experience of using this kind of tech?
It's very, very different from just simple iPhone recording or point-and-shoot camera recording, because we test them, all the equipment, at least 3-4 times before the filming day. I was still surprised when the final product came out and from the audio, because each product, each mic does have a very different sound, and some would have more background noise than the others. I think it really depends on what kind of production you are looking for or what you are doing, and you need to choose equipment very carefully. And I didn't really know there are so much difference between all these detailed technologies. I think I need to learn more about all the settings of different mics before I start using them. And the other thing is, it is more, it is harder to use.
Would you continue to use it? What's your experience? Is it giving you more an insight, or you rather keep to the simple stuff?
She's saving money up.
It really depends what kind of video I will be producing. But I think, yes, I need equipment at that level as well. When you use it right, it does give you that clear, nice sound audio where you cannot find if you just use a cheap, you know.
So for like point and click, your own personal vlogging, the simple equipment is fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
And then for more kind of storytelling, production stuff, then you will go for more higher end equipment.
Yeah, I'm not gonna go in details of what we did, but then it's basically storytelling, right? And we want to tell other people's story rather than our stories this time. So we want to tell their story better, and that does require the better visual and better audio, and just to impress people and to get people's attention and to, you know, want to listen to their story. And I think the right equipment will help. And I think we didn't use them to the
full potential.
But definitely learned a lot.
What lens did you have on the 5D?
18 to
70.
Yeah.
1.41. Yeah.
It's good lens, but even that, right? So what I find, and I found that when I used the same camera before, because it's a digital screen you're looking at, I find it hard to focus. Right? Because
it's not autofocus.
It has autofocus, but then...
With these DSLR cameras, when you use video mode, it stops the viewfinder. You have to use the digital viewfinder.
Yeah.
You don't look like this go up to it anymore. You just watch the digital screen.
Yeah.
It's the same as mine. I hate that. It's like, huh?
But don't they have both anymore, no?
No. They've never had. Video never has optical viewfinder for focus.
Right.
Yeah, because it's slightly different. I don't know why, but it's slightly different. So you can never quite get it right unless you're stuck on the tripod and your subject doesn't change.
Yeah.
So as soon as you're handheld or your subject is moving, then it's really hard to get. So that's a challenge in itself, but something quite easily you can overcome if you
have a little bit of practice, right? Yeah.
But again, like I said, yeah, again, I think the trickiest thing I've said in most of these podcasts is sound, right?
Mm-hmm.
So before we struggled to figure out which equipment we use, and then now we had the equipment on this project, what I struggled to do is finding the right location to record the sound. Because Hong Kong being one of the noisiest places on the entire earth, we kept picking up all the ding-dings and all the crossings.
All the swearing,
right? Which we can't avoid anyway, because we're in this environment. So we have to figure out how and which angle to capture the sound, depending on which mic we're using.
I think you found the lavalier mic the better recording.
It's still
that saved the day for us, but we still
has a lot of background noise. But because we are in the environment where there are a lot of different noise, so there's something that you cannot. Yeah.
So you said you took the Zoom recorder.
Yeah.
Didn't that help with the noise cancellation and reduction? Look.
It is. So whenever you record something, you take something out digitally, you're losing quality, right? So you want to capture as pure audio or pictures or anything as much as you can.
Yeah.
So if you want to maintain high quality, then you're going to have to keep in that noise. If you want to remove the background noise, you're taking away quality.
So I think that's a bit of a compromise for...
Also, speaking of audio... I think there was one time we didn't turn on one of the mic. or something like that. Because you have so many equipments and you want to make sure that you use all of them, all, including the backup camera, including the backup audio, the mic. And then sometimes you just, the interviewee started talking and you wanted to capture and then you just forgot things because you have so many equipment.
Mm.
So it's just, I guess it's also practice as well when you have the habit of checking everything before it starts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in your next one, you will have a better, more clearer planning for all your video and sound stuff, right?
I think next time, if you want to tell people's story, I think the best story we told was the one that we actually knew the story before we went filming.
Right.
So, I would suggest that we learn more about their story first.
The subject or the topic that you're going to be filming. That's understandable, yeah.
I think you call it the topic rather than the subject because...
Key message, I would call.
Because our creative side of it is how do we turn their experience into a story, right? So... But that's another podcast in itself.
Yeah, so it's just always better preparation. And one thing I noticed Loy struggled and I struggled with was the heavier camera, right? Because it was like a really good camera. And we didn't have, well, I guess some footage you couldn't really capture using a tripod anyway. So there are many times that we had to handheld the camera.
Right.
And we also need to keep it stable, which was really hard. So our hands kind of just started shaking after like 5 minutes,
three
to 5 minutes because it's too heavy.
Okay. So that's pretty good. Good experience. And we'd love to see the footage when you have it ready. And we'll catch you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.